Torah portion is Parshas Vayigash, and today also is the 10th day, Heves, which is a fast day. It's called appropriately the 10th of Teves. It is the first fast day in the series of fast days that culminate with the 9th of Av, called Tisha B'Av. And the history is that towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, about 2,500 years ago, the Babylonian army decided they're going to destroy Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and the temple, and they laid siege to the city of Yerushalayim, the city of Jerusalem. And that siege lasted about a year and a half until on the 17th of Tammuz, which is in the summertime, they broke through the walls of Jerusalem and they fought through the city block by block until finally 3 weeks after that, they burned the Beis HaMikdash, they destroyed the temple. So today's fast day is a serious fast day. It is not as long as Tisha B'Av. It's a daytime fast. It starts with dawn and it finishes with dark, with dusk. Today about 5:07 p.m. New York time or so, give or take a minute, depending where you are. And we fast on Friday going into Shabbos to show how strict it is. Ordinarily, if a fast falls on Friday, the fast is pushed to Sunday or to Thursday, depending on the fast. So, but that is today. And we, of course, have the promise in our Nevi'im, in our prophets, that these fast days will turn into days of feasting and joy and gladness and happiness. When Mashiach comes, these fast days will become celebration days. And of course, the question is, why would it be a celebration day? It's not going to be a fast day anymore because the temple, the Beis HaMikdash will have been rebuilt. But why would it be a day of celebration? That's sort of doesn't make any sense at all. Why would you celebrate the fact that a person, God forbid, broke their leg and then became completely healed? You don't celebrate the day you broke your leg. You're happy that you're healed. You forget about the problem. And the answer is because we believe that all of the tzaris that we go through, from the simplest thing, stubbing your toe or having some kind of a financial loss or a worry or whatever it is, all the tzaris we go through, from the simple to the very big and the very communal, the personal to the communal, it's all good. That means Hashem is doing it for reasons that we completely don't understand, but that one day we'll understand and we will then celebrate the event itself and what it did for us personally and as a community and as a nation. So we do, in fact, believe that this day will be a day of celebration. Also, of course, we're going to read Parshas Vayigash. Let's talk a little bit of Parshas Vayigash and what Parshas Vayigash has to do with the coming of Mashiach, because that's what we're praying for specifically on this day. So the Torah tells us that Yosef had been sold into slavery. He eventually, after being in prison for 12 years, and he was in Egypt for 13 years, because he was sold into slavery at the age of 17, by his brothers, the Torah says that. And he became the viceroy of Egypt at the age of 30. So this is 13 years later, of which 12 he was in prison. And he does become the viceroy of Egypt. And Paro had these two dreams in last week's Parsha, and Yosef correctly interprets them. You have 7 years of plenty, 2 years of famine. And now Yosef is 39 years old. And the story at the end of last week's Parsha was that his brothers had come down to buy food, and he had arrested his brother Shimon and then released him. And then he requested his brother Binyamin should come down, and he planted his goblet in Binyamin's sack, and he accused the brothers of theft. And the brothers, of course, were innocent. The goblet was planted there by Yosef's son. And he now the parsha opens up that Yehuda is approaching Yosef. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef, And he tells him, I will absolutely not allow our brother Binyamin to become a slave. If you want a slave, take me. The commentaries say that Yehuda said to Yosef, I completely can't understand what you're doing. If a person has a slave and they catch the slave stealing, so what do you do with that slave? You fire him. You give him back to the person that you bought him from. You get rid of him. But you have a person who's not your slave, and a guy stole from you, according to you, and now you want to make him your slave? It's exactly the opposite of what a normal person would do. It makes no sense. And I will not allow our brother Binyamin anyways to become a slave. He has to return back to Israel, to Yaakov, to our father Yaakov. The commentaries explain to us that Yehuda and Yosef are emblematic of two parts of the Jewish nation. And these two parts of the Jewish nation are eventually going to develop themselves into two different nations, not nations, but two different countries. The country called the land of Israel and the country called the land of Judah, the land of Yehuda. And eventually, a number of years later, this is going to be just about roughly 800 years later, 100, 750 years or whatever it is, there's going to become a split in the Jewish nation. And this is the split between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And originally the split was over taxes. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon's son, whose name was Rehavam, decided to exorbitantly raise taxes. And the people in the north, the 10 tribes to the north, refused to pay those taxes. And they seceded. They formed their own country. And they put a king in charge of the country who was a child of Yosef, a descendant of Yosef from the tribe of Ephraim, Yosef's child, Yosef's son Ephraim. So that for many years, it wasn't that many years in the scope of Jewish history, but it was many years. We're talking about it for a couple of hundred years. Roughly, there was a split between the two nations, and eventually the king of Assyria attacked the northern kingdom, took those 10 tribes into captivity, and they became the quote-unquote lost 10 tribes. But for 200 years, a long time, the Jewish nation was split. And it was called the kings, since they came from one king, the original kingdom came from David HaMelech, from King David, who was a descendant of Yehuda. And then this northern kingdom had a whole lineage of kings over 200 years who came from Ephraim. So this was the house of Ephraim versus the house of Yehuda, the kings of Israel, Malchei Yisrael, the kings of Israel, versus Malchei Yehuda, the kings of Judah. And there was a terrible split, disunity amongst the Jewish people. And the Jews themselves were very anguished over this split. But of course, nobody could do anything about it because you had two separate countries. So the Haftorah that we read in this week's Parsha tells us that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a day. It's a prophecy to the prophet Ezekiel, the prophet Yechezkel, who lived a while even after this story. He said, Hashem tells him, you should know that there's going to tell the Jewish people that there's going to come a day when there's going to be unity amongst the Jewish people. And Ephraim and Yehuda would no longer be one against the other, but Ephraim and Yehuda will be united, reunited the way it was always for the hundreds and hundreds of years, roughly 700 years before the split happened. And that is what the beginning of the parasha alludes to. The beginning of the parsha is Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Who came to Yehuda came to Yosef. So Vayigash Elav Yehuda literally means that Yehuda went to argue with Yosef, but it also means Vayigash. He came close. They reunited. So at the beginning of this week's parsha, we have a promise that even though on the surface the literal story was a story of combativeness, a story of argumentativeness, that Yosef was doing something that Yehuda was not happy about. But later in the Parsha, Yosef does reveal his identity to the brothers. And in fact, that's when the period of reconcilement between Yosef and his brothers begins, and it lasts hundreds and hundreds of years. The brothers are all united, all together. So this week's parsha starts off, therefore, with a story that superficially on its the story itself is Yehuda arguing with Yosef, but the underlying theme, and that is the story and the reason that Yosef, to begin with, planted the goblet in Binyamin's sack, and it's just to show the real and true love that the Jews have for each other when there is an actual problem that has to be solved. And that becomes an unfortunate truism of us and our people since the time, talking about over 3,000 years ago. So this is the truism that things are okay, we're fighting with each other. When there's a problem to be solved, then we get together and then we have unity. So this week's parsha gives us a little glimpse of how things should be and how things can be, and a promise, as I mentioned to you, the promise to the Navi Yechezkel, the prophet Ezekiel, that this in fact is the way it's going to be. We will have unity amongst the Jewish people, and we will be reunited in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, in peace. And that is the power of this week's parsha. And again, it starts overtly on a bad note, and that's the way it is today. Also, we're fasting. We're mourning the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But as I mentioned to you, the Nevi'im, the prophets, tell us it's going to be a day of celebration and a day when we will recognize and realize why we have to go through the tzaras that we're going through, and we will be in a much, much better spot. So this is a story of a turnaround, a turnabout, a story of the inner and the true unity between the Jewish people, even though sometimes it seems not like that, and the story of the true love that we have for each other, even though sometimes it seems not like that, and a story of the true love that Hashem has for us and the miracles that Hashem is making for us. So I want to wish all of us together a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. And we should have yet before Friday ends. There is an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says the Mashiach can't come on Friday. Why can't Mashiach come on Friday? Because people are busy preparing for Shabbos. Mashiach comes, what's going to happen with Shabbos? So we however, wait for Mashiach every single day, including Friday. So what do we say? We say, let Mashiach come. And Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, will answer this question, will give us the secret of how to prepare for Shabbos and greet Mashiach at the same time. And of course, this is just an interesting statement, a cute statement. But the fact of the matter is that Mashiach coming is the ultimate Shabbos. There's absolutely no contradiction. And we can, in fact, have that miracle happen immediately if Hashem so desires and if we are meritorious. So we should have that. And we should have personal redemption, anybody who needs a refuah shlema, a recovery, including all of those, the psuim, all of those who were injured in the war, soldiers and ordinary citizens. This is a Shabbos of coming together, a Shabbos of unity. Vayigash literally means, and he approached, coming together. So this is a Shabbos of unity, a Shabbos of miracles, and we should recognize and see those right away.